but I love doing it so much. I love my TV life, yes. And I love crocheting. So I feel like because I love it, I don't feel like I'm doing work.
In today's episode, I'm so excited to share my discussion with April, the creator of OTH Crochet Nook. In this podcast, I always try to interview different profiles of crocheters. And with her story, April shows that there is not only one way to succeed as a creator. She is now sharing her passion for yarn craft on television, so she will tell us everything about it. And also, she will give us her secret to manage it all, from social media to family life. Let's meet April. Hi, April. Thank you so much for accepting my invite to be on the Crochet Podcast. It's such an honor for me to have you. You are like a TV ambassador for crocheters. So I'm like, oh my God, I'm so excited about this episode.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. I'm so happy you invited me. I love having conversations about it. I feel like makers, we don't do them enough. Yes. We just see everyone doing content all the time, yes. And we don't see makers talking. So thank you for doing that, because I know you've been doing that with so many other makers.
Oh,
so
thank you.
I
yes.
appreciate you for doing that. Yeah.
Yes, that's why I created the Crochet Podcast, because I missed talking about crochet, you know, with crocheters. So I'm so glad like you like the podcast.
I love it. I love it. And it's so nice to hear other people's stories, because I think everyone has their own and everyone's different and we all have our own like journey. I love hearing
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And there is so many ways to succeed, I feel, as a creator, that sometimes we think about one way, but the podcast just shows that you can succeed so many ways as a crocheter.
So true.
Thank you so much. I know you are very busy, so thank you so much for taking the time to be on the podcast. Can you please introduce yourself very quickly for people that don't know you already?
Sure. My name's April, and I am the face behind OTH Crochet Nook. I'm a crocheter. That's my favorite thing to do. Knitting. I'm super slow, but I like to knit. I also do like embroidery and sewing and all kinds of things. Like I've just taught myself so many other crafts.
Okay.
I also am a TV producer full time. So my crochet business is my side job, my second job. I'm a TV producer full time. And yeah, and I've been able, this year was the first year that I was able to basically combine both.
Yes, yes.
And yeah, I've been sharing all the yarn crafts on TV. So that's been so much fun.
So you were a producer before. So basically you managed to do two things at the same time, which is being a producer and being a crafty expert on TV, right?
Yeah, no, I have been a TV producer for 19 years.
Okay.
That's been my job like forever. I went to school for TV. I wanted to have a TV career from like high school.
Okay.
And then I started just crocheting on my first maternity leave. I have two little girls. And when I had my first one, I started, like, I knew how to crochet a little bit from my grandma when I was like really young.
Mm-hmm.
And then on my first maternity leave, I was like, let me just pick up some yarn and go get a hook and let me see if I remember anything. And that was 11 years later. And this is where I am now. So I kind of took that hobby, and it kind of exploded over the last like 5-6 years. So now, yes, I am a TV producer as well as a crafty expert, but both have just take up a lot of my time. Yeah.
So can you tell me a little bit more? So you have you appear on a TV show, right? On Cityline?
Yep. It's Canada's longest running daytime show. So it's produced by women. It is led by women and it is for women. But it is the number one daytime show in Canada for so many years. It's been on the air for 40 years.
Okay.
And I worked, before I worked at Cityline, I worked on a morning show, which is the same TV station. I worked at a show called Breakfast Television. So I was doing a morning show.
Mm-hmm.
But TV producing, I love it just as much as I love crochet. And I have always been doing crochet and my job on the side, but it just ended up being once my social following and everything kind of started to go viral and I got a lot of followers and a lot of viral videos and a lot of my crochet tutorials have gone viral. Uh-huh. So my team at CityLine asked me, do you want to do a segment on TV and kind of show people how to do this, right?
Yeah.
And of course, I was like, absolutely. So that's how it kind of started. And then the first segment I did 1 year ago, actually, reached 11 million views, almost 11 million.
I just saw in your story, it's about hand knitting, right?
Yeah, I taught the entire audience how to hand knit.
Yes.
I brought them that big jumbo yarn and everyone did it with us. But based on that video, everyone was at work was saying, well, we have an audience that are crafters,
yes,
obviously, and we didn't know. So you have to keep doing this. So just keep doing all the crafty segments because the viewers love it so much. And so I've been doing them and it's been so fun. It's been so much fun.
You just started thanks to hand knitting.
Yes. And it's hard too because like if me and you know how to do, we know how to crochet, we know how to do other crafts. When I'm showing things on TV, I need to show things whereas people don't know how to do that. Right.
Yes.
So I'm showing them like a segment I did was pom-pom crafts. So that can be for anybody. You don't have to know how to crochet or knit. Right. Then I showed how to do like those beginner kits. If you wanted to start a hobby, how do you start? So it kind of like gives me a different creative way to show how people can be crafty if they don't know the skill.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like some people, sometimes they really want to pick a new hobby, but they just don't know how to start. So I think like that when you see it on TV, you are like, okay, I need to start. If everybody else is doing it, I need to do it.
Yeah, and I definitely have influenced a lot of people at work
and
viewers to try it out. And and I know people sometimes they find it frustrating. I know you crochet, and when you first start, it's frustrating.
Yes.
You have to really like love it to get into it. And I feel like once I got it, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm obsessed.
Yes.
But you have to like make sure you have a little bit of patience. I feel like it's like that with a lot of craft. Yeah.
Yes, with a lot of hobby, I feel like you really have to be patient and not being frustrated. I think the hardest part is to see the result and not being very happy and still like try again. I think that's the hardest step. And once you pass this step, easy.
Yeah, because you want to see that finished product. You want to see it so fast. You're like, why isn't it? But it takes time. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And you said like, so you grow your social media, you created tutorials for crocheters. Like, did you feel that being a producer helped you creating content on social media?
Absolutely. It made me understand, you know, how to market myself, how to market my business, how to edit videos, how to produce videos, what content to do. I think my background in TV for so many years absolutely helped it. During the pandemic, I started doing all of those how-to crochet tutorials, like how to do this stitch, how to make this project, how to do this headband.
Yes.
I was doing videos that were taking up so much of my time, but I loved doing them. And that's when it really exploded because everyone was at home and they were bored or they were just like, I want to do something for my mental health. You know, that was a hard time for everybody. And a lot of people picked up crafts. A lot of people picked up crochet and knitting. So when I started doing that at home, I was really like producing my content.
Yes.
So using my background, to produce the videos and produce what I wanted to show. So I think that really helped me accelerate my social, and it still helps me to today.
I
understand it completely. And I think I'm always up to the trends and up to like figuring out social media and the algorithm, which is really hard to do, but I'm trying always to keep up with it. And I definitely think, my background, my career background helped me do that for sure. Yeah.
And I looked at your content and I feel like you can really understand what people want to see. And it's something I always tell people when they ask me how to grow. You have to create content that people ask for, and like you have to add some value to your content. And I feel you do that very, very well.
Thank you. I think you do that very well too.
Thank you.
Think that you understand your audience, what they like.
Yeah.
And it's important because your audience is not mine. And
no,
mine is not yours. So, and I feel like it changes too. Like sometimes I'll do some tutorials and people don't want tutorials. I don't do it that much anymore. I don't think, I think people are into like this fast paced, I want to see the, at the end, you need to like catch them really quickly. It's different now than it was during the pandemic. Everything was a little bit slower and everyone wanted to watch a whole 3-minute video of how to do something. Yeah. And I don't think it's like that anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's very good because you understand how he changes. Like you have to change your content, your style of content all the time. You have to adapt to the economic situation, to like if people are at home or not. And that's so interesting how there is not one way to understand social media.
No. And I feel like it's, you're constantly being creative. I think you feel like that too. Like you're constantly thinking like, what's my next project? What's my next video? And it's exhausting. It's not something that's easy. So no, I think if anybody's watching this, if anyone's watching this and they're just starting out, it's really hard to get to that point, but you can get there. You just have to put in the work and you have to put in the creativity to really like do it. Yes.
I feel like growing on social media, the one thing that works is to work super hard on your social media. It doesn't come easy. It comes with a lot of frustration as well, because sometimes, I don't know if you felt this before, but you take so much time doing like a tutorial and you're so excited and you feel like nobody was excited outside of you. So like you really have to pass the frustration of views and likes and everything, I feel.
And that still happens to me now. I feel like even with my following and even with the amount of videos that get a lot of views, I see numbers sometimes and they still affect me. And I try not to get all like jumbled up with numbers, but you always wonder why. Well, why didn't that do well? I thought that was going to do well. So I try to remove myself from that. And I feel like when I was starting this, it hurt me more because I feel like you're starting and you're so frustrated and you're like, why isn't this working?
And
why is nobody seeing my videos?
Yeah.
So it's hard to not get out of that funk, but I feel like it's patience. And it's like, you really have to try to not do that because it's not good for you.
Yes, it's really hard sometimes to deal with it, but I don't know if you notice that too. Like, I feel like sometimes it's not even about your content, it's about the season. It's about, like, I feel like, for example, Instagram sometimes has season. Like, I know my content always gets more views during holidays and stuff like that. And right now, it's not doing well at all. And I feel sometimes it's not even your fault.
It's so true. And I understand that too. I feel like to me, sometimes I was like, okay, Mondays are good, Saturdays are good, and sometimes Fridays. And then the next month it won't be like that. It'll be something else.
Sometimes you think you crack the code and it didn't work.
But that is a really good tip what you just said, because I do feel like holidays it does well, and that's because people are home and they're on their phone.
Yes.
Yeah. They're not at work or they're not busy with something else. They are actually just lying down or sitting down on their couch or watching TV or whatever, and they have their phone with them. I do feel like that holidays are a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes like the weather also in the summer, I know personally I crochet less in the summer than in the winter. So it's like, you know, it's really not about the quality of your work, because you show up all the time and you make quality work. So yeah, if someone is listening, don't give up on creating social media posts. Sometimes it's not your fault.
That's right. It's true. Yeah, don't give up. It's hard to hear that when you're first starting out, but it's true.
Yeah. And so what platforms are you on? I know you have a big following on Instagram. What other platforms?
I use TikTok. I don't post there enough. I feel like I'm catering more towards my Instagram because the following is so big. But I do like TikTok. I have a little bit more fun. I feel like the audience is completely different than Instagram. Yes. Completely different audience. I am obsessed with Pinterest. Pinterest is an amazing platform. I've worked.
We don't talk enough about Pinterest.
Yeah, and I constantly do it. I've done it so many times. I've worked with a ton of collaborations with Pinterest. I love the team. The Pinterest page is so important to your business. It allows you to connect all of your social media, your blog, your YouTube channel. It allows you to connect every single thing so your followers can find you in so many different ways. And I don't think people use it enough. And think of Pinterest like the Google of like DIY, basically.
It puts your content on search engines. That's the thing, like, people don't know about Pinterest is, like, when you create content on Pinterest, it happens on the search engine. So Google, for example. And when you put content on Instagram, it doesn't happen on Google. Like, you just don't see it.
Exactly. And then another thing, too, is you don't have to worry about when you're posting on Pinterest or how many times, or which I feel like all other platforms are like that, like the time of day and like when you're doing it, what day. And Pinterest is just, you can do like 10 pins in one day and just post them all.
Yeah.
And they just go on their own. They just are in this like search engine abyss, you know, and then people can just search for whatever they want. And I have pins that are still going viral that I posted like 3 years ago. And that would never happen on Instagram. So
no.
So yeah. So I feel like Pinterest is a huge, huge platform for anybody starting out. You have to get a Pinterest page. Yeah.
So for people that don't know Pinterest already, can you tell us, you say like you post a pin. What is a pin?
So it's really, so you can post a pin that is just an image, or you can post a pin that is a video. So it's one or the other. And just posting a pin is just like posting on any other social media platform. It's still vertical. So you can still use all your content. Like I take my content directly that I've already made for my Instagram and I put it there. I try to do that for as much as I can, even on my YouTube. YouTube is just like a whole other thing. I feel like it's so much work. I haven't done enough of that.
YouTube is the...
Yeah, it's too much. But Pinterest is great for that, because you can just put an image, and if you put text on it or you put something in the caption, and then you just add a link, any link you want. And then you can post that same image like 5 or 6 times.
Yes.
And put like your Instagram link on one, and put your YouTube link on another one, and put your blog on another one.
Yeah.
So that's why Pinterest is great for repetition. You can just leave it there to let people search for it. And I think it's just like a really, really good platform for that. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And it works with keywords. So if you are looking for, I don't know, like a Easter bunny crochet bucket, like you just type it in and your pin will appear just because you put the words and you have the links. It's just so convenient. And yes, I think we don't talk enough about Pinterest.
No, we don't. Yeah,
and it's so helpful to grow a business.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Yeah. Especially if you're starting it, it's a really good one.
And I'm pretty sure I follow people on Pinterest that are mostly on Pinterest and don't have to create all the content on Instagram and everything. Like, I'm pretty sure I follow people that only focus on Pinterest.
Yeah. And I think too, like, all makers have their one platform maybe that they like the most, right?
Yeah.
And mine is Instagram, of course, but I would say Pinterest is my second or close to my first. But I think everyone has a different way of doing it. Just like you're saying, maybe people don't have to post on other things. They just post on Pinterest. Maybe people focus only on YouTube. So I think you have to do what works for you, and also what you have time for. I feel like it depends, because it's time consuming. They're all time consuming.
Yes.
And I think like you need to figure out which one you want to spend the most time on, right?
Yes, I will say it's almost, personally, I feel it's almost impossible to try to grow everywhere. You really have to focus on like one or two content, because as you say, YouTube takes so much energy, so much time, and it's really hard to be honestly, like, I really respect people that have big followers everywhere. I'm like, how is that possible?
That's a lot. You know, I know people,
so much work.
A lot of people, not just makers, but people I work with or other influencers, and they have a team. They're able to hire a team to shoot their videos, edit their videos, post on everything, which is such a luxury. I feel like if I could do that, I would.
I asked my husband, I was like, you know, if you quit your job and you edit my videos, we could be very successful on YouTube. Yeah, a lot of people have a team. You have to, because do you want to crochet? Like, also, it takes a lot of energy to create patterns and stuff. So it's like, when you try to manage it all, it's hard. Like, we can be honest about that.
Yeah. And we also have to, like, me and you are doing the similar things. We have to take pictures of what we're doing, videos of what we're doing. Sometimes we do steps. It's that in itself takes up so much time. You can't just sit, like, if I'm making something, I don't just sit down and make it. I sit down, then I take a picture, then I take a video, then I do it. Right?
Thank you for saying that.
And I think
you have to film yourself all the time.
And then sometimes I'll forget and I'll be like, let's take a picture of that.
You have to redo it.
Yeah. And it's so frustrating. But that's of a maker, that is what we have to commit to, right? Is that type of content creation, which is a lot. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And also it has to be qualitative. That's the thing. Like when you create social media posts, you can just not post whatever random picture of the item you just made. It has to be nice. Yep. You have to edit the video. So yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that with us and not saying that, oh, everything is perfect. Everything is not easy. It is not at all.
And I think for us, like, there are other niches that people do for influencing that might be easier to do content. I'm not saying everything is easy. I'm just saying we have to do step by step by step of what we're doing as a maker. It's not just trying on an outfit type of thing, right? But
yes, it doesn't click right away. So talking about, you know, like how much time you put into your content and everything, can you tell us what's a classic day for you, for example?
Yeah, so if I am going to the studio to work as a TV producer, I'll wake up early. I live actually far from the city now, so I commute 2 hours to get there. I know, I take a train and I commute. Yeah. I go to this. That's how much I love my job too, because
you have to love your job.
I commute to the studio and then we do the show. We get to leave after the show, and then when I come home, I pick up my girls from the bus, and then I will continue to do my work, whatever I need to do as a TV producer. We're planning content for the show, and then after all that, I end up doing everything I need to do for my crochet or my knitting or whatever I'm doing, videos.
Okay.
So I do a lot of that at night because that's just how my schedule is, or I'll do it on the weekend.
Yes.
Because I don't have time to do it in between. For me, crocheting during the day would be like a luxury. If I did it like during the week,
I understand.
That
yes.
would be like, yeah. oh my gosh, a dream if I could do that, but I can't do that. So I do it at night, I edit my videos at night. Or on the weekends, but I'm constantly doing it all the time. I take my yarn everywhere I go. I did a funny post once where I wanted people to comment of where you shouldn't take yarn. Right. And people were saying at weddings was probably the one you shouldn't take yarn to. And I was like, yeah, that's true. So that should be the only one.
Like, maybe is that too much?
Yeah. I take it to the movies. I take it to the mall. I take it everywhere. So I always try to catch up because I'm always doing projects, but, that would be my typical day. So, and then I try to sleep like at least 5 hours at least, because I don't get enough sleep.
Yeah. You need 5 hours.
I don't get more than five. I really don't. I try to sleep more and I don't. Yeah. I'm constantly working on one or the other. Yeah.
Wow. That's so much work to combine like both of the aspects of your life plus your kids. It seems like, oh my God. And I'm like, I don't have kids. I do that full time. And sometimes I already feel overwhelmed. So I have so much respect for you.
Thank you.
Like, so much.
It's all about balancing. And because, I want to say this to everyone, because I know they might think like, you know, that's not enough sleep or I should not be doing all of that. But I love doing it so much.
Yes.
I love my TV life and I love crocheting. So I feel like because I love it, I don't feel like I'm doing work. If that makes sense. So I would be doing it regardless. I would be doing it even if I had 10 followers. I'm always going to crochet because I just love so much. Yeah. So I think that's the difference.
You need it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I understand if it was not a passion, like that would be even harder. Like people sometimes combine two jobs they don't really like. It's even harder, I will feel. So the passion is very important. How do you keep this passion for crochet after so many years of doing it?
I don't know. I feel like everyone needs to find what their passion is and then they'll understand, because it's hard to explain. Yes. And people ask me all the time, how did you know that you love it? Like, how did you start? I don't know. I found it and I knew, I just was like, let me see if I want to do this. And I feel like you have to find it. Yeah. If you're trying different things, you have to find what your passion is. Some people just want to read books. That's their passion. They love reading books. Yes. Or, you know, they love cooking, or, and people find it and then it doesn't feel like work. So I think it is, just to answer your question though, I think it's hard sometimes. And I don't feel as motivated and I'm like, I'm not creative today. I don't know what design to make, or I want to make a sweater, what sweater it is. And I just don't feel sometimes like I'm creative 100% of the time. It's hard to be okay. like that. It's hard to be like on, right?
Yes, and I think it goes up and down.
Yeah, it goes up and down. And sometimes you just feel like you just need to not do anything. And I think that's okay. It's important to take a break. Yes. But sometimes crocheting is my break. I mentally feel amazing. I feel like calm. I feel relaxed. And when I'm stressed, so sometimes I don't even know what I'm making and I just start crocheting just because it makes me feel good. Yes. I don't know if that makes sense, but that to me,
I totally understand. Yeah. It's addicting. Yeah. Like I feel it's so bad. Like, but like after 3 days, if I don't crochet, I'm like, oh my God, I need to crochet. I need to do something. I need to, like, it's an addiction kind of.
No, it is. And I like the way it makes me feel. So I think that if you find that I feel so grateful that I found it, because I think people are trying to look for that sometimes. Yes. They don't know what their passion is, that they don't know what their hobby is. Yeah. So I'm grateful that I'm able to find that for sure.
Yes. As you said earlier, like during like COVID, when we were at home, like people really needed an outlet, you know, like to make them feel better. And I feel like having a hobby really brings that to you. Like it's a stress relief. Some people run, some people, you know, like read, as you say, and it's about relieving stress. I feel like because you focus on one thing, you don't think about like the reality, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. And I know a lot of people that started a hobby, but they don't do it now, but they did it during COVID. They did it during COVID because it just made them feel good. Yeah. And now they don't do it, and that's okay. But yeah, I think it's a good outlet. Yeah. I think doing something with your hands just makes it feel, it's like it has a repetitive motion. I feel like it's very like meditating to me. Like it calms me down right away. Yeah, I do.
Really relaxing, and you cannot do it like too fast. So I totally understand.
Yeah, I know you do, because you love it so much. So you understand. I think people don't understand the obsession. I am totally obsessed. I'm very addicted to it.
and really, like, to be honest, sometimes now I have like the crochet business. Sometimes, as you said earlier, like sometimes you have to film yourself, you have to create content. And sometimes I really miss crocheting crocheting. And not have to film my hands or film myself. And it's really something I have to like focus on, is to sometimes just grab a hook and just crochet. And you say you do it.
I do that a lot. And then I'll just frog it. I won't even keep project. I just did it just to sit and crochet, just to do something with my hands. I do that a lot. Yeah. And then I just don't even do anything with it after. I just take it out. But it just makes me feel.
I really have to do that.
Yeah. And exactly what you said. It's like I'm not doing anything to do it, to do a block, to write a pattern, to make a video. I just was crocheting just to crochet. And I feel like that I miss that a lot sometimes. And sometimes I just want to do it slowly and it makes me feel better. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. I will definitely try to do that more often, because sometimes I really feel the need. So you have a crochet business. Can you tell me, like, what's the different aspects of your business? Like, basically, how do you make money with crochet?
Yeah, of course. When I first started, I think like a lot of us, we did like markets, or we'd made things for our family and friends. That's kind of like how I started in the beginning. And then I started to get contracts with yarn companies, with crochet hook companies. And then I started to realize that made more money. Just to be very honest with you, anyone who has not done contracts or paid collaborations, it's definitely you make more money doing that as opposed to doing, making things for family and friends, or like having I just feel like it's, to me, I like that better, focusing on one project, mm-hmm. it's a contract, I make it, I design it, and that's how you make your money. So I feel like that is the majority of my crochet business. I also make money on Instagram. So I'm in Canada, and in Canada, we don't get monetized. Sorry, that's the word I was looking for. We don't get monetized by Instagram for views, whereas American content creators, they do. I don't know if you do as well.
Like sometimes it's like bonuses they call, and it's during a short period of time. But it's not like on TikTok, where on TikTok like it's all the time. In the US, I guess it also depends on your number of followers. But yes, sometimes we get paid.
So then I also get paid with subscribers. So I have a subscription on my Instagram. So that's also. Okay. And then I have, you qualify on Instagram also for ads. So what that is if someone's on my profile and they're scrolling through my posts on my profile, an ad will pop up and I'll get money from that. Then I also, am monetized through my website. So you get ad payments. If someone clicks on an ad when they're on my website, I also get that. Those I think would be the main ones. I'm trying to build my YouTube channel. That is good. That is my goal for this year. I have two goals. I want to write a book and I want to build my YouTube channel. Those are the two things.
Oh, because, wow. Very ambitious.
Because YouTube is really good for...
Yeah, mostly for someone like you that teaches people.
Yeah, and I...
You have so many
things. So many things. And... I think the main thing that people ask me too is, don't you feel like the market is saturated? Don't you feel like there are a lot of people doing crochet and there are a lot of people doing tutorials? But don't ever think like that, because there's always room for you. There's always room, because you are different than everyone else. And I think if I thought that before, I don't think I would be where I am today. So building my YouTube channel would be the main thing I would want to do for sure. And that would obviously be monetized. I don't qualify yet for it yet because I haven't really worked on my YouTube.
Yeah.
But once you qualify for YouTube, you can get paid for YouTube, which is great. So I would think that would be the majority of it. But paid collaborations and contracts would be the number one, for being monetized every year. I think that would be the one. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that and being honest about it. In your bio, you say you are an ambassador for it's an office furniture company, right?
Yeah. So Create Room is actually this, my yarn cupboard that I have here. This whole it's called a dream box, and it actually closes up into like one. I don't know. I've done some videos on it where it closes up into a cupboard, like very small. And it opens up wide. It's like 9 feet wide. And I have all my yarn in it.
It's so cool.
So there are some influencers that are ambassadors of this. So we have affiliate links. So anytime someone buys them off my link, I will get commission from that. That's basically what that is. So I'm an ambassador for Create Room. So anytime they have sales or they have things that we want to promote, we do that and we use our affiliate links. Yeah. And then the other one I know you were going to ask me about was Yarn Versus Everybody, right? Yeah.
Yes. So you're the founder.
So Yarn Versus Everybody is something that I started in, I think it was 2018, I believe. So years ago, it was before COVID.
Okay.
And I started to do like maker conferences and like maker meetups for all the makers that wanted to get together and just hang out, crochet, knit. We would have food, we would drink if we want, we would have like speakers and we would have presentations. Since COVID, I haven't done it. So that was basically, I think I did four of those. I definitely have to do another one, but yeah, I know. Yes. I definitely will. I have to. And people keep asking me and they're like, when are we doing this? And, it was just a place to meet people because we just see each other like this, right? We see each other on our Instagrams and our socials and we don't get to meet face to face. And it's funny, I don't know if you feel like this, but I feel like with my family and friends or my husband and my kids, I can't talk to them about yarn. They don't understand.
No.
I can't talk to them about my hooks. So I feel like when you're surrounded by people that know, you just like,
yes,
it's just amazing to talk about yarn and hooks and what is your project and what stitch are you making, yeah, and what are you doing? And that alone just brought happiness, like all around for all the events. Yeah. And I think a lot of people gravitated towards that. So yeah, I definitely will have to do another one. So that is what Yarn Versus Everybody is. Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. So it's like a crochet club, a little bit.
Like a meetup. Yeah, we would do like meetups. Yeah, and I did like presentations, so and I gave like a huge swag bag to everybody that left with like so much yarn in it and all these different things and kits. Aww. And like, yeah, it was just like a really fun thing to do, and I have to do it. I don't have time. See, but I need time.
Yes, I understand. Yeah. Like organizing an event is like on another level of like organization.
It's a lot, and I was doing it all by myself. So, I mean, on top of everything. Mm. So I'm trying to, I will definitely do another one. I will definitely do another one. Yeah. I will let you know.
Let me know. And if I can come, I would love to. I know we are a little bit far, but
you can try. You can try. That would be so nice. Yeah.
Yeah. But I understand the need of like meeting with other like crafters. I feel so blessed in Utah. We have so many crocheters. So I belong to a crochet club, which I'm very lucky for. But like when I was in France, like not a lot of people, like crochet is not that big, I would say. And I felt very isolated, you know, like even when you tell your coworkers that you crochet, people are like, really? Crochet. So so I feel that's so good, like to meet with other crafters.
Yeah, no, it makes a big difference just to have those conversations. It just makes everyone feel, I don't know, everyone just feel, you feel good just talking to other people that understand your maker language.
Yeah. And you learn a lot also. Like I've learned about different brands and oh my god, what's this yarn and stuff. So it's also good, like if you want to learn.
Definitely. You want to learn. Yeah. And it wasn't just crochet and knitters. It was like people that did all kinds of things, like embroidery artists. Yeah, crafters. Yeah, they did macrame, like whatever it was. It was just crafters. So it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Well, that's so fun. So now you said like you want to grow a YouTube channel, you want to write a book. Is that like your, I will say, like your next dream, like your next step?
Yeah, I feel like I've done that this my whole life, where I'm always like, I finish something and I'm like, okay, what am I going to do now? Right? Where I've always been like that. That's just my personality. Maybe I should be like not doing that. Just constantly.
No, I mean, that's what
it does. It inspires me, and I want to, it motivates me. And I feel like I live off of that. I live off that motivation, and I want to just always accomplish things. So writing a book is a huge one to me. Just my YouTube channel. Those are the two things that I feel like are missing from this, my maker journey. Those two things for me are missing. So yes. I need to do those. And I will feel, I'll probably end up being like, what do I do now after that?
Yes, it's always like a next thing. Yeah. But I think that's what wakes you up in the morning, gets you up in the morning. Like I feel the same way. Like I always need something new, at least like a new crochet project,
or I'm looking to see what can I make next. Yeah. But so have you ever wanted to write a book or?
I mean, if it came up, it's something I will definitely consider. Like, because I always say, my husband always say, like, if you put all your patterns together, he will make a book. So, if it came up, if the opportunity came up, I'm always open, obviously. But I love also the crochet podcast. It's something I never thought I will do, mostly because, like, English is not my first language. But, like, the crochet podcast for me, like, it's also something big that's happening, and I really also enjoy this project, which I didn't think
and I don't think a lot of makers do it, so I think it's so nice that you're doing that to bring us together. I think it's really nice. It's really good.
Just talking about crochet, about our businesses, as you say earlier, like there are people that make good money selling their creations. There are people that, you know, create content like you do. There are people like writing crochet patterns like I do. And we all live with crochet. So I feel
yeah, you have to find like the outlet that works for you, which is what we were talking about before, right? Yeah. So yeah, you have to find what works. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you so much for sharing all of that. I have one last question for you. When you choose a new crochet pattern to make or to follow, what are your inspiration?
I feel like it depends on the season because I do a lot. Mm-hmm. I love cotton yarn, my favorite, but I only use that in the spring and summer. And I love like extra chunky, bulky yarn in the winter, which I know you like too. And I'm like making like chunky blankets. And so I think it depends on the season of what inspires me to make something. And I'm always looking like right now, I'm always looking at like summer tops, dresses, tank tops, like that type of thing, or like bralettes or something. That's what I'm always searching for. Yes. And then once like August, I'm already thinking about pumpkins and blankets and sweaters. So I think like the season inspires me the most. That's what I look for because I'm always, we have four seasons where I am. I live in Ontario, Canada, and I feel like we have every season. So it inspires me of what I'm making.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, yeah.
Okay. So you just follow the seasons. And so right now you have a work in progress. Can you show it to us?
This is a summer top. It's a beautiful like cotton that I'm using. I love this green. It's so nice.
Oh, that's so
it's
nice.
Going to be like a V-neck type like top. And I literally have only this one sleeve. I'm stuck on sleeve island right now. And I just need to finish this sleeve. And then I can seam it. Yeah, and then I can seam it together. And I'm going to write the pattern because it's so easy. But yeah, and all my patterns are free. I've been doing that since I started. Yeah, I've
on
been
your
doing
website,
that since I started.
Right?
And that was just like a personal choice that I did. And other makers, I totally respect anything that you choose of whatever people want to do. I don't ever judge anybody else. That's what I wanted to do. And I feel like it's important for people to do whatever they want to do for their business.
Yeah,
whatever works for you. If you want to sell your patterns, that's great. You can do that. No problem. I just have always done that. I've never charged for my patterns. So I just put them on my website and they're there. And
I will add a link in the description of the video so people can check out your patterns.
For sure. Thank you so much. It's so nice.
Of course. Thank you, April, for sharing your amazing story. I feel you are extremely successful in what you do, like in your career, in your crochet business. I really respect everything you've done. So thank you so much for taking the time to share your story with us. And is there anything you would like to
thank you very much for inviting me. I love that you're doing this and having your makers talk about their journeys. And I think if anyone, like we were saying, is starting out, don't give up. Have patience. Don't think that you can figure out the algorithm or anything. You can't figure it out. You can't. So just keep doing what you're doing and do what your followers like. Look at the videos that they like. Look at the posts that they like the most and keep doing that content. That would be my biggest advice because that's what your audience wants to see.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that and saying that there is not only one way to succeed. Like that's so important. Like you don't have to copy and paste someone, you know, like to make it your own, I feel. So like thank you so much for sharing your journey and all
your
advice.
Thank you
amazing.
So much. Bye.
Thank you, April. Bye bye. Thank you for watching or listening today's episode. Don't forget to leave a thumb up or 5 stars if you like this episode. It's really, really important for the podcast to keep growing. Don't forget to follow April on all her platforms. She's on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. And her username is othcrochetnook. I see you very soon for a new episode of the Crochet Podcast. And please take care.